Welcome back in, hour number two of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Friday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Going to have Teron Davenport, ESPN NFL Nation Titans reporter and host of Talking with TD, drop by at 8 o'clock to join us for his weekly visit. So looking forward to getting TD's perspective on the first couple of days of Titans training camp coming up later next hour at 8 o'clock. Joe, it was made official yesterday, not that this is any big surprise, but the SEC officially voting to invite Oklahoma and Texas to join the league. So now, basically just one formality is left. Texas and Oklahoma have to officially accept the invitation by the SEC to join the conference, and the expectation is that could come as soon as today. So Texas and Oklahoma will be joining the SEC. I think maybe, to some, the surprising thing yesterday was the end result of the vote, a unanimous vote by all 14 members of the SEC, the presidents and the chancellors, unanimously voting to extend invitations to Oklahoma and Texas. We wondered about Texas A&M. Would they hold strong? Obviously, they were upset about this to begin with. But it seems like through conversations and back-channeling and all the different things that went on, Greg Sankey and the SEC office found a way to get Texas A&M on board and a unanimous vote yesterday by the SEC. Now, I did predict that they would be that way. I also, though, was very disappointed that Texas A&M did not stand their ground. 13-1 would have been awesome. I wish Texas A&M would have stood their ground, but ultimately, Joe, they did not do it, and they showed, solidarity with the rest of their conference.
Right. The SEC has to have that 14-0, but also probably at some point with Texas A&M, which they put out a statement a couple days ago, you know, at some point you're going to spin it for you, too.
Yep.
You're going to be like, all right, well, this is great. The rivalry renewed, and we never had a problem with this. Sure. You're just going to have to grin and bear it. And you're going to continue to play in that league. I mean, some of the we got to get out of this league. No, that's not smart. But obviously, Texas A&M. It's interesting with Texas A&M because I think they've very much benefited in some ways from being in the SEC, and they definitely like the long-term prospects of having that as a, you know, having that is something that differentiates them in a positive way from Texas on the recruiting trail. And their recruiting, like in football, has been
very good.
Amazing.
Yeah.
The performance hasn't yet matched that recruiting. But now, you know, Texas can fly the SEC flag too. So, but you're just going to go ahead and give a thumbs up and grit your teeth and move forward.
And the result of this vote by the SEC yesterday led to yet another statement from Bob Bowlsby, Big 12 commissioner, yesterday, who says, quote, we are disappointed these discussions went as far as they did without notice to or inclusion of other Big 12 members. Despite our concerns for the process and for the overall health of college athletics, we will do everything possible to make sure that the student athletes at both universities enjoy an excellent experience throughout the remaining 4 years of their participation in competition in the Big 12. So Bob Bowlsby is all about making sure that the athletes from Texas and Oklahoma until 2025 have a wonderful experience. Wasn't that nice of Bob Bowlsby in his statement yesterday?
Student athletes.
Yes.
Bob Zombie. Bob Zombie putting out the It's like Rob Zombie's dad, Bob Zombie.
Bob Zombie. It's been a heck of a week for him.
And that's a crazy thing, too. So this has been, what, when was it? Was it last Thursday? Or was it last Wednesday, right? It was one of those two.
One of those two. I mean,
it's been a week.
Yeah.
It feels like way longer than a week. But stuff moves fast as soon as it comes out. After months and months of scheming becomes public, it moves fast. And, yeah, Bob Zombie is not having a good week, man.
It was amazing. Steve Spurrier, who I love dearly and miss very much in this conference, I guess somebody interviewed Steve Spurrier. And got his thoughts on Texas and Oklahoma coming into the conference. And Steve Spurrier was like, well, you know, Texas, they can't win the Big 12 anyway, so I don't know what makes them think they're going to come here to the SEC and win. And took a jab at Oklahoma, and he's like, you know, all those trips to college football playoff, probably not going to get there quite as often in the SEC. Somebody's got to protect that man, Steve Spurrier. I know not very popular among most Tennessee fans, that man is a national treasure.
Absolutely love him. He is going to talk trash. Whether he means to or not, he's going to talk trash.
We need more of that. Need a little bit more of that in the
SEC. I should have thought of that, you know? Like, I got Spurs. I should have thought to, like, you know, do this and contribute a little bit.
Well, they can't win the Big 12 anyway, so.
God, that's fantastic.
Come on over.
As he munches on his Arby's.
Yes.
Roast beef sandwich.
I don't think a big surprise. I mean, I would assume that Texas and Oklahoma accept today, and they're meeting with their boards, their respective boards today, to come up with that decision. I think Texas is on a conference call, so they're like, yeah, we don't even need to meet in person. We'll just get a conference call going and accept this invitation to the SEC. But it is going to be interesting now that this is about to be official. How much movement do we start to see? I mean, we talked yesterday about the lawsuit from the Big 12, or excuse me, the cease and desist letter from the Big 12 to ESPN. ESPN responded to that with a letter of their own yesterday. I don't know if that's going to put an end to anything, but they responded with a letter of their own. We'll see what the Big 12 decides to do on that front. But now if your schools like West Virginia and Baylor and Texas Tech and all these schools that are kind of hanging out there in no man's land at the moment in the Big 12 or the Big 8 or whatever you want to call it, it's going to be very fascinating to see when and if movement takes place and how quickly it happens at this point. Because as we talked about earlier this week, when you're in this position as a college athletics program, one of the worst things to do, and one of the things I think you get scared about the most, is just sit there and do nothing and wait for things to happen to you. I'm very interested to see how quickly we could start to see some discussions of teams moving away from the Big 12 at that point.
Right. I mean, that whole thing is just, yeah, it's wild because you've got the lawsuit and you've got the incentive to stay together. You have Power 5 autonomy still, even losing these two, and you have still a lot of money coming in and a lot of money to be gained and split up among everybody else if they have to pay their exit fees, you know. And if everybody just says, well, sorry, I'm going to the AAC, you know, then that goes away and everybody gets off scot-free. So I don't know. I kind of was leaning toward the AAC gobbling up the Big 12, but now, I mean, it's pretty obvious the Big 12, at least Bob and some of these schools, want to go the other way with it and keep it together. And I guess the question is, what's the long – I mean, each place has to ask itself, what is the best long-term solution? If I have a chance to go – like, again, if the Big Ten – I don't know why the Big Ten would. But if the Big Ten says, hey, Iowa State, let's go. Kansas, Iowa State, let's go. I mean, they're not going to say, let's stay together, Big 12, so we can get our money from Texas and Oklahoma.
Right.
I don't see why the Big Ten does that, though. I just see really no value other than, well, the SEC went to 16, so let's us get to 16.
Right.
You can add them at any time, right? I mean, basically. Whether they're in the, I guess, unless the Pac-12. I think if the Pac-12 were to expand, I think it would be looking at the Texas side of things, I would think. It's a little bit better football brands, and it kind of makes some sort of geographical sense. Not really, but
kind of
more than Iowa State does.
Yeah,
but I mean, if those schools are in this newfangled Big 12 or in the AAC, you're the Big Ten. You can get them whenever you want. If that is at some point, okay, it's the Premier League. So Nicole Auerbach and Andy Staple wrote this pretty good, interesting piece about how this parallels the Premier League, the English Premier League, and how that came together and how at the time, you know, people were furious in England about this because there were all these rivalries and other clubs that had been with different clubs that became part of it, and it basically just brushed to the wayside, right? So if that's what it becomes, and at some point you have to be at 16, fine, but right now, if I'm the Big Ten, unless I'm doing Staples' plan to just become a coast-to-coast Rutgers to USC league, I'm probably not doing anything.
Well, the other question that people were asking yesterday is, all right, is the SEC done? Like, could they be looking to expand even more as they move forward here? I hope not. Like, I hope 16 is it. I don't want to get into the business of 20, 24-team conferences. Like, to me, that sounds awful.
Yeah.
I mean, it doesn't sound worth it at all. And I know that money ultimately talks at the end of the day. I hope, for the sake of college athletics, that the SEC is done and that 16 is it, and this is where they're going to stay. And I'm talking stay for a long time. I don't want to – even 10 years from now, I don't want to be having a discussion about, I don't know, Texas Tech coming in and joining the SEC too.
Well, I think – to me, the only way you're – because we're already talking about how's this going to work, people playing each other. You think about a league, think about people playing each other.
Yeah.
You go past this, it's just – it's a mini junior NFL where some – which is like in the NFL, this is our year to play. The AFC South plays the NFC
right.
West. And then, 4 years from now, we'll see him again. You know, stuff like that, which to me is not a league, but that's – that's what it could become. I hear you. I agree with you. I don't know that you're going to be happy with how things go. I don't know.
I don't know either.
But if they were to go beyond this, I would think it would only be schools like Clemson
yep.
and Florida State and other just monster brands, which sounds great to the TV execs.
Yep.
They love that.
I do want to point out reports surfacing from Adrian Wojnarowski of ESPN, Terry Taylor of Austin Peay signing with the Indiana Pacers.
Good for him.
So Terry Taylor signing with the Indiana Pacers. We'll see what happens on that front, but could be a good opportunity for Indiana or for Terry Taylor there.
Terry Taylor's going to make a lot of money playing basketball. Just a fantastic – Terry Taylor, there's a great example of someone who, to some extent anyway – because you're talking about a two-time player of the year, just a terrific college basketball player. To some extent, would have been great to see name, image, likeness in place, when he was in school. I don't know, in Clarksville, what that's going to mean. But you have a name and a brand in the sport as one of the best mid-major players out there. He was always he's a 6'5" power forward. And who is just an astounding rebounder, great hands, great feel for scoring around the basket. And if he were 3 inches taller, 4 inches taller, he'd have a better chance. He is a quote-unquote tweener, but he's also been told that his whole life. And so I know he's going to be very motivated. So it'd be great to see him make that one way or another. He's going to have a long basketball career.
We'll take your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. We'll continue this discussion when we come back. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Later this morning, it's your chance to participate in the Nashville SC Pick to Click, brought to you by Camarena Tequila. If you guess correctly which player scores a goal in the game this Sunday, you win a prize pack and a 4-pack of tickets to an upcoming Nashville SC home game. Make sure you're tuning in later this morning at 9:45. We'll have that opportunity for you coming up a little bit later here in the show. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Friday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. And Joe, it's been a pretty amazing week in the National Hockey League with free agency getting underway. We talked a lot about the trades that took place last week as well. But it's been particularly amazing to me to watch what has happened with defensemen in this league, particularly with a flat cap and the salary cap remaining where it is and things not going up. Seth Jones has signed a contract in Chicago where he's making $9.5 million per year. Zach Werenski last night agreed to a deal with Columbus where he's making over $9.5 million per year. Dougie Hamilton is making over $9 million per year in New Jersey. And look, before we get started on this discussion, I like all three of those guys. I think all three of those guys are very good defensemen. I don't know that I would call any of them elite defensemen. Seth Jones might be the closest, but I don't know that any of them are elite-level defensemen. But what do those three guys have in common? All three of them are making more money than Roman Josi at this point. And Roman Josi, I get it. He's older than those guys. He is 31. Roman Yossi playing on basically a contract that's right at $9 million per year, $9.059 million to match the jersey number. So basically a $9 million per year contract for Roman Yossi and the Nashville Predators. Obviously, he won a Norris Trophy a couple of years ago. I think he struggled to start last season because I felt like there were times where he was trying to do a little bit too much. He played much better coming down the stretch and ends up with 33 points, 48 games. Very good defensively coming down the stretch. He looked like Roman Yossi. Have we reached the point with some of these other contracts that are being thrown around there where Roman Yossi's contract is a bargain at this point? Because it's an interesting discussion. I think right now it absolutely is, and it's crazy to say that at $9 million a year. I also recognize there's 7 years left on the deal. He's 31 years old. He's going to be here for a long time, and it's hard to predict, you know, when does that decline start? It's going to happen at some point. He's not going to be the same player at the end of this contract as he is right now. The question is, how much does he diminish? Does he diminish maybe a little slower given the skill set that he has and how great of a skater he is? But I can't believe some of the money that's being thrown around out there right now with defensemen. It's crazy to me how much money they're making.
Yeah. Flat cap, schmat, schmap. I don't know. People don't care. Paying people. And, yeah, I mean, this happens, right? Quarterback gets a huge deal, and then 3 years later it's like, wow, you're now 19th in the league with that deal. At the time, it was number one. But right now, Roman Yossi is a bargain, and I think that will be the case for the near term. Yeah, like you said, at some point it won't be the case. It'll be the other way around. But certainly, he's better than some of these guys who are getting paid more than him. There's been a lot of interesting, you know, contracts, and then also like prices paid for players in this period. I mean, like Colorado and Kemper is really wild to me.
Yeah.
On that whole thing. First round pick, Connor Timmins. You know, it's still, you know, it's free agency, and this period it's still whatever you can do, some teams are going to take it, especially if you think that you're that close, and obviously Colorado is. But yeah, Yossi, unlike a lot of contracts on this team, looks pretty good still.
Right, and he's the highest paid guy on the team. So I know people hear that and they say bargain. I mean, he's the highest paid guy on the team. I recognize that, but I mean, based on the position that he plays, I mean, Seth Jones is a good player. Seth Jones is not Roman Yossi. Zach Werenski, I can't believe they're paying him $9.5 million. Now, I think some of that is because it's Columbus and they're losing everyone all the time. And sometimes you got to overpay. Like,
lock up somebody.
Or, you know, Werenski came out last night with some comments and was like, you know, it's a no-brainer. I'm a Columbus Blue Jacket. I'm like, yeah, I bet it was a no-brainer to sign, you know, a $9.5 million contract worth $57.5 million over the next 6 years. He's 24. Look, Werenski's a good player. He's 24. He's a good player. Like, he's not, to me, in the same conversation as Roman Yossi. He's not really in the same conversation as Seth Jones, I don't think. Dougie Hamilton.
Yeah, that's
a nice player.
That's the wild one, is
right.
Werenski. Yeah, Dougie Hamilton. What'd he get?
I need to look up his exact term. So let me do that real quick. But I mean, Dougie Hamilton's a really good player, and he had a great year with Carolina last year. And you're talking about a guy that's 28, so basically right in the prime of his career. I think he's a good player, but like 7 years, $63 million. Is he worth more than Roman Yossi? Probably not. It's $9 million annually. It's right there along with Roman Yossi. I don't see it.
But it's also,
I mean, Roman Yossi's a top, what? Depending on who you ask, top three, top five defender in the league. I don't think he gets much below top five from anybody.
Well, what would Roman Yossi fetch in the open market? Anybody who stays with their teams is probably going to get less money than if they actually went out to market and said, bid on me.
Right.
If you're that level of player. What would Roman Yossi fetch right now? An AAV from a team, whatever the term is. You know, he's probably 10?
Could be. I mean, I get it. He's a little older. So that's what you got to keep in mind here, too. But, I mean, good gracious. Like, I thought, and it was interesting, and we had this discussion as it related to Grandlin, too. Like, what was the market going to look like in a flat cap where you basically had a season last year that until the very end, not very many fans in the building. Like, revenue, you lost money last year if you're the NHL. So what was it going to look like? Now, you've got Seattle coming in, and that's a cool $650 million that you're now using, and you're split on that 30 ways. I mean, Vegas doesn't get any part of that. Seattle doesn't get any part of that, but you're split other than that with the money that you get. Apparently, that's been enough for these teams to start spending some money in free agency because it's been wild to see how much action there's been in the NHL. And, you know, defensemen making a lot of money right now, and there's still some young guys out there that have a chance to be signed. I mean, Kyle texting in or tweeting in on Periscope, how do you guys feel about Pius Suter? And I believe that's how you say it, is Pius. I said Pius for a long time.
I like Pius
better. I like Pius better, too. But I think it's Pius. Technically Pius Suter, who had a great year last year for the Blackhawks as a rookie, and they let him go. They didn't qualify him. 14 goals, 13 assists last year. I guess my first question would be, like, why did the Blackhawks not qualify? Rookie year, 27 points, 55 games. Thought he played pretty well.
Yeah, something we don't know about.
Something we don't know. Like, what's going on with Suter at that point? But a lot of Predators fans wanting to jump all over that. We'll see what happens. Like, I, you know, they've got a lot of young forwards that, with Granlund coming back in the mix, it's kind of difficult to track where some of these guys. Like, I heard Darren Donica Chase yesterday. They had a great discussion to begin their show about Granlund and whether or not that was the right move to bring him back, whether that blocks some of your younger guys. Like, are you adding Suter to add maybe another younger guy? Remember, I'm not talking Ryan Suter, Pius Suter, to add a younger guy to that mix? I don't know. But it's free agency has been wild so far in the NHL, and it kind of reads to me, like, we see this happen a lot of times on the first day of free agency in a lot of sports. A lot of overpaying going on. It's probably wise that David Poile has largely stayed out of that fray, I would say.
Yeah, right at this moment, yes. You know, to the point of the difference between being a free agent and staying with the team. I mean, Cale Makar.
Yeah.
Tell me, that guy shouldn't be paid more than some of these contracts?
Every single one of them.
And he got he got 6 years, 54 to stay with the – I mean, it's just – you stay with your team.
Right. Like,
that's a great deal for them. I mean, that's a great deal for them.
Zach Werenski is making more money than Cale Makar.
I mean, there you go.
I mean, it's ridiculous.
What a world.
Good for him, though. Hey, yeah. I signed that contract every day of week.
Blue jacket for life, baby.
Blue jacket for life for Zach Werenski. When we come back, we'll continue this discussion. How could these negotiations around the league affect the price for Matthias Ekholm? We'll get to that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. 102.5 The Game is bringing you Nashville's best coverage of Titans training camp, presented by Farm Bureau Health Plans, Frontier Basement Systems, the All Things Basemently Company, the Trenches Shop in North Nashville, and the Cut Truck Mobile, Nashville's newest barbershop on wheels. You have control of the time and place. Book your appointment at thecuttruckmobile.org. We'll have Teron Davenport coming up in about 30 minutes to begin the 8 o'clock hour to give his thoughts on the first couple of days of Titans training camp. Looking forward to that discussion with TD. Got Call Your Shot Friday coming up next as well. So go ahead and get those called shots in on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. And by the way, Suter, who we talked about in the last segment, has signed with the Detroit Red Wings. So I missed that one. So Kyle, Fred's not going to be signing him.
There you go.
So there you go. Don't have to worry about Suter anymore.
The Red Wings revival continues.
Yes, it does.
Detroit is back.
Detroit
is back, baby.
That's right. Detroit making some waves throughout all sports. See what happens.
Tigers aren't total garbage. Pistons got Cade Cunningham.
Yeah. Red Wings slowly chipping away at that rebuild.
Stevie Y is bringing it back. And Dan, kneecap-biting Campbell, ready to rock.
There's Dan Campbell, that's for sure.
Ooh, this is, by the way, an intense game happening. In case you are near a TV, anyone, U.S. Women's National Team, quarterfinals.
73rd
tied
minute.
With the Netherlands.
Yeah, 73rd minute, tied at 2 apiece right now. So while it's not table tennis that we saw yesterday, which I was just mesmerized by, Great game right now between the Netherlands and the U.S. women's soccer team.
Who won that, by the way?
I don't know. I couldn't.
Is that a match? Who won that match?
Yeah, I don't know, but it was amazing. I hope that we see some more table tennis today at the Olympics. That could be a sport at that level I could watch, I think, every day.
They have an Olympic table tennis channel.
Yeah, they absolutely should. By the way, Dan Campbell yesterday you brought up with the Lions has a quote about his team. Quote, "We're big, we're long, and we look strong. We look explosive." So Dan Campbell ready to go up there in Detroit.
Thanks, Dan.
Let's see what happens on that front.
Let's leave that one alone. Good luck, Dan.
Thank you, Dan. We appreciate you. Right now, discussing the Nashville Predators and defensemen being handed gobs of money throughout the NHL right now. Zach Werenski, $9.5 million a year. Dougie Hamilton at $9 million a year. Seth Jones, $9.5 million per year. So what does this all mean for Mattias Ekholm, who has 1 year remaining on his contract, obviously is eligible at this point to sign an extension with the Nashville Predators? I asked David Poile about that the other day. Has there been any progress with Ekholm and Forsberg? Those discussions have not really started yet, maybe a little bit more into August, closer to training camp, according to Poile, as when those discussions could really heat up between Ekholm and Forsberg. Poile sounded pretty confident that both those guys still want to be here. So good news on that front if you're a Predators fan. But my question is, like, what does all this mean for Ekholm? He's 31, so he is older than these guys that are signing these deals. But he was playing on a contract for $3.75 million. We know that's going to go up. He is going to make more money. I don't know what term the contract is going to look like for Mattias Ekholm, but his money is going to go up. The question is how much, and how much should you be willing to pay if you're the Predators? He's obviously, I think we saw this, especially when Josi was hurt last year. Ekholm is extremely important to this team. He's very good. He's still playing at a high level, and kind of amazingly with the way that he plays and how physical he can be, he's pretty durable too. I mean, he basically is available pretty much every game for you, every year. So I'm not overly worried about him just all of a sudden breaking down at some point. It can happen. Once you get into your mid-30s, that can start to happen at a pretty high level. But I do wonder, what does the next contract from a dollar amount look like for Mattias Ekholm? And should these discussions with defensemen who are much younger than him, should they impact it at all? Because if I'm him and I'm his agent, I'm saying, man, these guys are making $9.5 million. I'm not asking for $9.5 million, but maybe six, maybe $6.5 million. That's a pretty hefty pay raise for Mattias Ekholm at that point.
Zach Werenski going to be brought up on every single negotiation.
Yeah, yeah. Zach Werenski is making $9.5 million.
Yeah, I mean, I suppose, sure. I mean, an agent's going to latch onto any of this stuff and try to use it. And I think six range is fair for Ekholm. I mean, he's awfully important. Now, the term, I think, is, again, like kind of the bigger thing. And also, on the other side of it, if you're him, do you feel better about re-signing with this team now because of, like, a move like getting Granlund? We've batted around the Granlund move all week. I'm still more in favor than not, but, like, does a Forsberg, does an Ekholm look more favorably upon, okay, this isn't a total plunge into youth movement, and I feel a little bit better about signing?
Yeah, I think so. What I keep going back to with Ekholm especially is it's difficult for me to imagine that David Poile is trading Ryan Ellis if he's not pretty sure about Ekholm. Like, I mean, I guess it could happen, and regardless of whether or not, you know, you trade Ellis, Ekholm's going to be here next year. He's got 1 year left on his deal. So you know he's going to be there. But is he going to be there long term? Like, if you had any doubts about that, or at least significant doubts about that, if you're David Poile, do you really pull the trigger on the Ryan Ellis trade? Maybe you do. I don't know. But to me, like, if you were losing Ellis and Ekholm in the next year, that's a pretty significant overhaul on the back end. And we bring up the rebuild, and that happens a lot. Like, that defense without Ellis and Ekholm, you've got Roman Josi and a whole bunch of young guys. Like, that's a pretty different-looking defense at that point. That changes to me dramatically what your short-term future looks like at that point without Ekholm.
And on the question of term and money, if you're Ekholm's agent, okay, so you guys just unloaded that huge Ellis contract. You're telling me you don't absolutely need my client? You're telling me that he is not essential to your next few years?
Yeah.
How could David Poile, you know, how could you argue otherwise?
I don't think you can. I guess the question is, I mean, look, based on conversations I've had, based on conversations that Ekholm has had publicly, I think he pretty clearly wants to be here. And honestly, and I've said this multiple times, you know, in a normal situation, it would probably make sense the other way around in terms of Ekholm and Forsberg. Like, Ekholm's older. Ekholm, he wants to win. And I think there are questions right now with this group. How close are they really to competing for a Stanley Cup championship? I think most of the times when those questions come up, the older guy is probably more likely the guy to leave. I don't really get that vibe from Ekholm. Like, I think he wants to be here. He's got roots here. I mean, when they were talking about trading him last year, and not the Predators talking about trading him, but the conversation that was out there, I mean, Adam Vingan did an interview with Ekholm about all that last year, and he was like, yeah, I don't want to leave. Like, I really don't want to leave.
Yeah.
So, I mean, he made it pretty clear that he wants to be here, and he's been asked directly about signing an extension. That's something he wants to do. So I think they've got a great shot to bring him back in. I just wonder what that price is going to look like. I still think this could get interesting with Forsberg. I think it really could. I mean, if I had to put a percentage on it, I would still give him a better than 50% chance of re-signing here and them getting that deal done, because I think he wants to be here too. But I am fascinated with him. I think there's a real decision on his hands. And the question again comes down to, how long can you wait if you're Poile without one of or both of those guys signed to a contract? That's a dangerous game to play.
No doubt. Thank you for talking for a long time there, by the way, while I was freaking out watching this soccer. I mean, if people are watching on the stream, I mean, my facial expressions right now.
It was like me yesterday with the table tennis. It's frozen.
Like, whoa.
Like, oh, my goodness.
Huge moment right there.
Well, look, we usually don't get live sports in our time period on the radio.
We need more sports played in Tokyo.
Yes.
So that we can more be distracted and watch the live the sports. So, yeah, it's still 2-2, by the way. Update, live update. 82nd minute, quarterfinals.
Yes.
United States, Netherlands, just a huge penalty kick save just now. But I agree with your point on the hockey.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
We're in full lockstep on that one.
That is correct. It's going to be pretty fascinating to watch on that front. And look, there are a couple people when we tweeted out the other day that Poile said having those conversations with Ekholm and Forsberg a little bit later. A lot of Predators fans are like, did this date sneak up on you? It's July 28th. That's when they're eligible for an extension. Why have you not had those conversations already? I mean, there are a few things to figure out. You still have to get Saros signed to a contract. He does not currently have a contract for next year. So there is a certain order to these things. You can kind of push off the players that still do have a contract with you. You can push those discussions off a little bit later if you're David Poile.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't freak out about
it. People want to know, though.
I wouldn't freak out about that too much if I'm a Predators fan. And look, it's possible. We saw it with Roman Josi. You can start the season having not had a deal done with those guys. Now, it gets too far into the season, that's when you start to worry, I think, if you're a Predators fan.
Yeah.
It says the closer you get to the change of the calendar and those two guys, or at least one of those two guys, aren't signed, that's when you have to start thinking, oh, boy, could there be a trade that could be in the works?
May a trading deadline situation have to come into play?
Yeah. Hopefully it doesn't get to that point if you're David Poile.
If they get them both extended, then I think at least on paper, in theory, the competitive rebuild is going about as hoped.
And then you're relying on the young guys to take the necessary steps.
Oh, yeah.
And that's, look,
you're relying on your $8 million guys.
Well, those two.
Then the young guys.
For sure. But the young guys, that's part of why John Hines was brought in. I remember when the day they hired him, part of what David Poile talked about was his ability to develop younger players. I think we've seen that to a certain degree. I think there is another level that it needs to get to, especially with top six guys. It's one thing to develop your bottom six guys, like, we need to see a big step from Tolvanen this year. I'm a little less about the big step with Tomasino. I mean, I don't know what to expect from Tomasino at the NHL level. Cody Glass, we need to see him develop. So, I mean, this is a pretty big task on the hands of John Hines coming up. But, yeah, there's the competitive rebuild largely hinges on those $8 million players. That is 100% sure.
Yeah, competitive in general.
Yes, exactly.
To be competitive, you got to have your money players play like it.
When we come back, it is time for Call Your Shot Friday. We need your bold predictions in the world of sports. 615-737-1025 on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. 615-737-1025. It could be the Predators in free agency, the extension contracts for Ekholm and Forsberg, the Titans in training camp. Everything is on the table on our text line. We'll get to that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
The sports weekend has arrived. You know what that means.
Shoot your shot.
It's time for Call Your Shot Friday with Robbie and Rex Road on ESPN 102.5 The Game and The Game Nashville app.
And it is time for Call Your Shot Friday here on Robbie and Rex Road. We need your bold predictions in the world of sports on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Everything in the world of sports, it's on the table. I will say, the purpose of Call Your Shot Friday is to take a step of faith. To, you know, take a leap out there. Don't be saying Alabama's going to win their first game. They probably will. I don't know that that qualifies as a called shot at that point.
Unless they're playing the Cleveland Browns.
Well, unless they are. Which I don't think is on their schedule this year. So just keep that in mind.
Yeah,
as we move
call
forward.
Shots, okay? Make it, like, for example, the one I called last week.
Yes. Texas and Oklahoma not joining the SEC. That didn't look very good about 30 minutes after you made the pick.
Well, I said Texas A&M gets Missouri, Tennessee, and Ole Miss. Lined up against them, the threat of the 12-team playoff dissolving, false alarm. Matt,
that didn't go well.
If we'd listen to the audio,
I
didn't believe it. But it's calling a shot. That's what we're talking about.
That's right. So let's revisit quickly our called shots from last week. Did you have more than that?
That was it. So Michelle, again, we got to remember this. Got to remember this for Michelle.
Yep.
Boy, Cali, hat trick against the Preds.
Opening night.
You also, Michelle also said Oklahoma, Texas to SEC. Boom, got that. But the Big 12 won't fold, the AAC will. And actually, it's going to be interesting to watch. Big 12 is trying to survive.
Yeah.
Bob Zombie and company are doing all they can. And then you've got USA Women's Gymnastics, Biles, every event team gold. That did not happen. Interesting you called a Biles shot. Quite a story.
You would think that shot being called would be a solid.
Yeah, that wasn't like a big shot, really.
No.
It turned out, yeah.
But it turned out, didn't work out that way.
And by the way, you know, on that real fast, like Simone Biles has put out a lot of stuff about what the twisties mean.
Yeah.
And how dangerous it would have been for her to continue. So I hope people who, you know, sitting on their couch eating pork rinds, calling her a quitter, will pay attention to that.
And Robbie. Pork rinds are very good. Yes, but continue.
I've had some pork rinds. Dip them in some queso. Granlund will not be signed by the end of the first day of free agency.
Ugh.
But Nashville SC, clean sheet win over Cincinnati. Boom.
Got that one.
You did have Aki Loba scoring. So you had to tack that on. So it wasn't a complete W, but you got that part, at least part of it right. So there you go.
There we go. So we're off and running today on today's edition of Call Your Shot Friday. Michelle, would you like to kick us off today?
Of course I would like to kick us off.
Perfect.
And I was struggling to find something because I was like, I'm going to do the Olympics. And it was that USA Women's Soccer is going to win gold. So I'm a little stressed now.
This is a battle right now between the Netherlands and USA Soccer.
Like Joe said earlier, if you don't have the game on NBC Sports right now, because
this is intense.
It's tied.
We're in extra time.
Oh. So my first called shot, I still have faith in the U.S. women's team.
Okay.
That they're going to win gold. And my next shot, it's still that USA men's basketball is not going to win gold.
It's doubling down on it.
And Nashville SC will win this weekend. And my guy, Randall Leal, will score again.
Randall Leal scoring against Toronto. So Michelle throwing it out there. Michelle, big Randall Leal guy. Great goal last
Should
week.
Should be.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I won my pick to click last week
you did.
Because of him.
I know, in her second appearance. Has already taken the lead on Porth and myself. Speaking of Ryan Porth has texted in his called shots for the week.
I didn't realize we were letting him do that, but okay.
He just did it, but he has done it. Ryan Porth saying Steven Goskowski is a member of the Titans by this time next week.
Ooh.
So by this time next week, Steven Goskowski, a member of the Tennessee Titans.
Goskowski's hopefully listening at home saying, nah, I'll see you
know.
I'll see you around Labor Day, but cool.
Ryan Porth also saying the Cincinnati Reds make the playoffs this year in Major League Baseball.
Oh, boy.
And the USA men's basketball wins gold. Does that qualify as a called shot? I mean, they've struggled, so I guess
it
does.
I think so. I think a lot of people are – I think that's a like it's a shot either way.
Yeah.
I'm actually on Porth's side of that. I think they're gonna, I think I've made that called shot.
You have.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So we've all had our shots on the U.S. Men's basketball team.
Joe Rexroad, your called shots for this week.
Well, I also have – so I'm doing a real-time called shot. The U.S. Women's National Team will win this match in a shootout, and we are very close to a shootout. I think we got less than 2 minutes here before we get to that.
Who's shooting it?
Yeah, I don't know that one. But
Rapinoe with the winner?
I do feel good. That could be. I feel good about this after Alyssa Nair and the save she just made on the penalty kick for the Netherlands. And then this team will win gold, and in a wonderful glimpse of our world right now, a lot of Americans will be mad about it. Another called shot. The Dodgers will not win it all.
You stole mine.
Did I?
Yes.
I'm sorry, man.
It's okay. How about them just loading up? Max Scherzer.
It's too much.
On the Dodgers yesterday. So Kershaw, Bueller, Scherzer, Price is there. It's unbelievable. Amount of pitching they have. Trey Turner coming over from the Nationals as well.
Makes my eyes water a little bit as I think of Scherzer and Price, the Tigers. But yes, it's ridiculous and it's just too much. Like it's an all-star team and they're not going to win it all. They're going to disappoint.
I like it.
And my last one is, now this is a shot, especially right at this moment. Now this may not have sounded at all like a shot 2 days ago, but at this moment, especially for anybody who's been watching Titans camp, DeShone Kizer will make the cut. For the Titans. Logan Woodside will go through waivers and be on the practice squad to start
the
season.
All right. So DeShone Kizer rebounds in training camp, makes the cut. Logan Woodside through waivers, remaining on the practice squad for the Titans. I like that.
Right now, Kizer today, big day for him.
Absolutely. My call shots for the week, Mattias Ekholm will sign an extension with the Predators in the month of August. So before training camp comes around, Ekholm in the month of August will sign an extension with the Nashville Predators. Derrick Henry does not take one snap in the preseason. Not a single snap for Derrick Henry in a preseason game. And the LA Dodgers do not win the World Series, even with their loaded lineup and their pitching staff as well. What do you think about Derrick Henry? Like, I'm saying not a single snap. Now, he could get a series. Maybe that's what happens. But I don't think he's going to take a single snap for the Titans in the preseason.
I think you're probably right. But maybe they'll put him out there like on one snap and just
work on pass blocking.
Yeah, just like throw a quick receiver screen or something.
Just get him in there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the thing. It's like on the preseason, you get like Julio Jones, making his return to Atlanta.
Yeah.
But, he's going to be there in a uniform and wave, hey, everybody.
He'll get in for a snap or two, won't he?
I don't know. I don't know. I wouldn't be surprised if 2 and 2-2 sit out the whole time.
That's a lot of numbers.
Yes.
Taking your call shots on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Ben texting in, called shot, the Tampa Bay Rays win the World Series. Also in the middle of it, Joe, do you know how great Tom Brady is since his arrival? Not only did Tampa Bay Bucks win the Super Bowl, Tampa Bay won the Stanley Cup twice, and the Bucks in the NBA won the championship because of the GOAT effect of Tom Brady as well. Now it's the Rays' turn to feel his power. So Ben, crediting Tom Brady for the Tampa Bay Rays, going to win the World Series.
How could you not? The guy turns water into wine coolers. He's amazing.
Tampa Bay would burn down, I think.
I mean, it's just old hat at this point, right? Just winning championships left and right.
That's all they do, Tampa Bay.
I mean, for the 17 people that show up and watch the Tampa Bay Rays play, I'm sure that'd be a fun time. That was sorry. That was mean. I shouldn't have said that.
Devil Rays.
Let's go back to the text line. I got a text that says Forsberg isn't re-signing. Gets traded during the season to the New York Rangers. Poyle does not want to get Ryan Suter again. So not only is this texter calling that Forsberg gets traded, picking out exactly where he goes. The New York Rangers. Philip Forsberg gets traded to.
Who do we have? Who is this?
No name.
All right. Give us your name because we got to remember some of these. That's a problem.
But that's what we're looking for Call Your Shot Friday. Bold steps
yes,
like
that's
that.
A shot. That's a good shot.
I got a texter that says the L.A. Lakers will not make the playoffs.
Oh.
Russell Westbrook causes too much drama.
Oh,
probably
my.
Not.
Well done. Yeah, I'm going to – that's a shot.
That's a shot. I like that.
They're probably going to sneak into the playoff field next year.
I like it.
I don't think Westbrook will be a prowl. I just think on the court it's a weird –
I don't know. It's a weird fit.
Yeah, but we'll see. That's a shot.
James Williamson texting in, Michigan will beat Ohio State this year by 4 touchdowns.
Probably not.
My God.
4 touchdowns. Won't they start by beating them at all? But that's, again, that's what we're looking for. Call Your Shot Friday.
Yeah. Beating them at all is a massive shot. When's the last time that happened?
I don't know.
Brady Hoke got it done 1 year, so I think it was 2012, I think. Like, that's one out of the last, like...
17 years.
Yeah. But they're going to beat them by 4 touchdowns. Okay.
This is the year that Harbaugh makes it click.
I guess so. Herbs. Yeah. Herbs got it figured out, baby.
Donovan from Wisconsin texting in, the Milwaukee Brewers will make the World Series. Love for the Brew Crew. Coming out of the NL.
Maybe Milwaukee is the one next takes down Tampa Bay.
Maybe Milwaukee is the one that takes down the Dodgers.
Could be. Someone will.
Yeah. Maybe the start of an impressive championship run by the city of Milwaukee as well. I love
they count the Packers too, you know, like they get to count the Packers.
Yeah. It's close enough. It's an impressive addition to Call Your Shot Friday. Great participation. We'll continue to take your thoughts on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHunting.com. I don't know. What was the best called shot? Was it the Michigan by 4 touchdowns or the Lakers missing the playoffs? Those are a couple spicy ones. I like it.
I mean, yeah, those are almost, you know, overshots.
Maybe to a degree.
But I like it.
I mean, the Lakers, they were the 7th seed last year.
That is true. I mean, I suppose you could look at it and say, LeBron, is he breaking down a little bit? Anthony Davis, having a bunch of injuries himself. But it would take a lot of that. It would take a whole bunch of that.
It would take a whole bunch of that.
Real quick, Tyler says Henry rushes for 2,000 again.
So that's a shot. 2,000. That's a shot, yeah. Back to 2,000 for Derrick Henry.
First person ever, if that were the case. Of course, then people say, but it's 17 games.
Yeah. Still be pretty amazing if he was able to do that. When we come back, we'll be joined by Teron Davenport, ESPN NFL Nation Titans reporter. We'll get his thoughts on the first couple of days of Titans training camp as well. All that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, live from the Wholesaling Studios, powered by RumbleOn.com, here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.